Well, hello there.
Hello?
See, this connection is so much better now.
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's just the app. But we're going to jump right into the intro, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure.
So, hey guys, this is Jay, and I'm welcomed here today with a very special guest named Devin.
Hello.
Devin, would you care to introduce yourself to everyone?
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Devin. I am currently a law student at Brooklyn Law School in New York City. This is my first year. Previously, I went to John Jay College of Criminal Justice at the City University of New York. I was lucky enough to be colleagues with the wonderful creator of this podcast. And I've had the opportunity to delve a little bit into creative writing, as well as some other art forms. And I've definitely taken a liking to some of the projects that I've seen both on campus and outside within the city. So it's definitely something that I've gotten interested in.
Oh, nice. Do you want to talk a little bit about these projects that you've gone into or seen outside of school or in or out of it?
Sure. So there's definitely been a lot of events that I've been either invited to or passed by in the city where individuals get together either in parks or just in certain open public areas. The first one that comes to mind is one in Bryant Park, where they were doing sort of a spoken word type of event.
Nice.
I don't remember exactly what the topics were or if there was a theme at all, but it was really inspiring to see individuals get together and share common interests in regards to other art and pieces of art. There's definitely been a lot of graffiti art that I've noticed passing by either through Brooklyn or through Queens. It's really interesting to see how people get inspired to create works of art, even if it's on the side of buildings where I have no idea how much effort it took to actually scale those walls in and finish a project that, you know, might have taken weeks or months.
Right.
But it's definitely something that I've always wanted to see done in person, just so I could see later on what the completed work looks like and sort of have a more tangible idea of the amount of effort that one goes through to ensure that the vision comes to life.
Right. So I just want to piggyback on something you said before. I think it was the spoken word in Bryant Park. Just for our audience out there, Bryant Park is in Manhattan. It's in the city. Located somewhere on 42nd Street, right? Right, Devin?
Yes, that's correct.
Bryant Park, right? It's somewhere on by the Q line or B line?
I believe it's towards the orange lines, which is the B train, the D train, the F,
right,
and the M. And it's about 3 to 4 blocks away from what most people consider Times Square.
Right. So, and guys, New York City is really beautiful during the summer. Winter, it's you know, because it's really cold and, you know, all that really terribly coldness that no one likes to deal with in New York City, and the trains get terribly crowded. But if you guys ever want to swing by and see some spoken word in the city, Devin just gave you guys a really great location to check them out, and it's in Bryant Park. And I think they also have, like, Shakespeare in the Park sometimes during the summer, right?
I believe
is it there
so,
or is it Central Park?
It could be either. I have seen some events advertised for something like that, and more in Central Park than Bryant Park. There's definitely always an abundance of events happening within the city, and especially during the warmer seasons in Central Park.
Right. So, guys, if you ever come to New York, check these places out. Always Google. Don't take our words for it. Google a lot before you come and take our words for it, because we don't want you guys getting lost and ending up somewhere you don't need to be. But I know you mentioned you've seen a lot of graffiti in Queens, and you would love to see how these arts come to life and how the artists actually do it. I don't remember what the place is called, but there's a location in Queens where there was an artist who pretty much did graffiti art all along a couple of buildings. I believe he got like the permission to do so. And I'm not sure if they actually tore those down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those
Yes, yes, I do. So, I'm a native New Yorker and I live in Queens, which is one of the five boroughs. And along one of the train lines, which is the 7 line, it deviates from being an underground train to being above ground. And towards the end of the line that goes to Flushing, which is an Asian community in Queens, there was a set of apartment buildings or just regular buildings in general that there was graffiti art. And I remember as a kid, it would always be there. It was something that was sort of considered a landmark in Queens. Like you said, I believe the artist had permission to actually put his art up there. And a few years ago, they did cover the buildings, either repainted it or just took the graffiti art off. And so a major landmark of Queens was taken out, and it was something that, thousands or I would say even millions of people have seen just taking the train back and forth in that area. So it was definitely something that was a work of art to see the amount of effort that went into it. And just one day
Just
I
be
happened to pass
taken
by,
away.
and yeah,
Yeah.
it's just gone.
Did they ever? I know we're still kind of unclear, but do you think you might know a reason why, besides, just repainting it or redoing buildings over, that they might have done that? Like, is there any like legitimate reason that they may have had? Is it like anything at all that you
Nothing that I
recall?
can think of. The art was not, to my knowledge, offensive to any group or community or individual. There was no, I guess, distinguished topic or theme for the art that someone might be uncomfortable with. And so it's really a weird decision on either a part of the city or the property owners to get rid of it because it was something that was located in Queens and gave Queens a bit of a attraction, other than some of the other locales that we have here. But that was definitely something that was a lot more visual, very colorful, and
It
provided
popped out. It
these.
was beautiful. You're right.
Yeah, it was at least from what I remember, and it gave Queens a unique identity in that department.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that was one of my fondest memories of being in Queens. I remember seeing those graffiti art when I was in high school doing community service by a nearby but like a local small bridge, and we were painting it. And I remember we took pictures there. If I still have those pictures, no, I don't. But I wish you guys would have seen it. I think they could find it on Google if they looked it up, right? Queens graffiti. If there's like a certain word they have to look up, do you think we might find it there?
Oh yeah, I think if they just Google searched New York City Queens graffiti seven
Yeah, they might
line,
find it.
that there should be pictures right there.
See, you guys check out the graffiti. Support the artist if you can. I'm not sure if he's still around or still doing work. I hope he is because his work was very beautiful, guys. I have a vivid memory of that part of Queens, and it'll be nice to still support him regardless of the art coming down. But I wanted to like dwell in a little bit about you, Devin, because we've known each other for quite some time. We've known each other since college. Been through a lot together. Have we been through a lot together? I think we have.
I would say
Think we've
so.
been. I would say so. I think John Jay's awesome in its ways, and it let us grow up together. And I want you guys to know that John Jay is also located in Manhattan, and it's a CUNY school, and it is a very interesting environment, very diverse. The full name is John Jay College of Criminal Justice. So if you guys ever need a college to go to, check that out, or check out the other colleges in New York City. But Devin is a brilliant man, and he's in law school. And I'm an aspiring law student as well, thanks to Devin. And Devin, tell us a little bit about the process for law school. Let us talk about that a little bit. Let the audience know what we had to go through.
Sure. So saying that it was a bit of a bit of a hassle is an understatement. There was definitely a lot of things that we had to consider when we were applying to law schools. So generally, the first thing is you would have to take the LSATs, law school admissions tests. It's one of the only tests that I believe breaks the human spirit. And
it definitely does.
It's definitely a unique experience, having to be timed, and you have about a minute to read, process, and answer a question, with very little breaks in between. If you're able to do well, which if you study beforehand and you are comfortable with your unique studying method, you'll get a score, and that score is incredibly important. It's amazing indicator, at least in the eyes of the law schools, on whether or not you have the potential to succeed in law school.
Right.
Actually applying, I was not given enough of an advance notice, and so I had to pay for most of the reports that were submitted to LSAC, which is sort of organization that handles a lot of the law school applications and so forth. After paying for all those applications and the reports, it's just a waiting game. And so,
a tedious waiting game, by the way, people.
Very tedious. I was, I didn't have the greatest grades. I didn't have the greatest LSAT score. And so reasonably, a lot of the higher tier schools did not decide to take me and offer me a seat. However, I was lucky enough to get into Brooklyn Law School. After that, it's just sort of a barrage of information, sending in hundreds of dollars to ensure that you have your seat and that you put a down payment on your tuition. And after that, it gets a little bit quiet. They just invite you to certain events, ask you for some documents, and the real fun begins once classes actually start.
Right. So I remember, just to deviate a little bit, I remember taking the LSAT, and Devin's absolutely correct. That test will, or exam, whatever the hell you want to call it, will break the very essence of the human soul. It'll crumble you and make you cry in a corner every night. I remember prepping for the exam. It was quite hard if you aren't used to it. It was quite an experience, I have to say. Did you want to talk about a little bit about your experience prepping for the exam? Like, did it break your soul as much as it broke mine? Because I remember even when I took study a preparation course for it, I thought I would do decent. And, you know, the first time around, it was like, eh. And it's still eh. So tell us a little bit about your preparation for the LSAT. Let other people know, if they're planning on applying to law school, what they could expect from that exam, the preparations and such.
Sure. So as you explained a little bit, you were able to take a prep course, and I unfortunately was not able to. And so I think we could sort of both attest to sort of different avenues of study,
yeah, of course,
and what we should be focusing on. So my method was to take practice tests. I didn't
right.
have any resources giving me any tips and so forth. And so the most that I was able to do was sort of learn as I went, understanding through just trial and error, seeing what worked and what type of questions there were, and if there was any tips and tricks that I could learn myself through experience. And so definitely studying for the LSAT is, I would say, a privilege. If you try and do it during your college years, when you do your undergrad, you know, your final semesters or your final year, it's incredibly difficult. You have to manage your social life, your personal life, your academics, and then on top of that, you have to study for a test that will determine whether or not you're seen as decent in the eyes of law.
It's good enough.
Yeah, and so it is incredibly competitive. And to just make Jordana feel a little bit better, and any of you that plan to take the LSATs, it's okay to come out of the test crying. There were plenty of people who did that. And it's just a matter of looking at it as a learning experience, no matter what happens. And definitely, if you don't get the score that you want, take it again. And there's no shame in taking it a couple of times. There's no shame in getting a score that maybe isn't what you wanted. There's always a lot of other factors that law schools take into account, and just work on succeeding in a way that you want to succeed.
Right. I agree. That's the best advice anyone could give people who plan on taking the LSAT again. I remember when I took it the second time, I felt a little bit better because I came in there with a more open mind and I knew what to expect the second time. If you guys do plan on taking it again, study, 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 but don't study to the point where you're going to fry your brain. I think when you overstudy, I think that's where the anxiety starts building up and I think you absorb in less. I'm not sure how that might work for other people, but I think that's how it is for me. I know I was studying during a period of time where I was working full time and going to a prep course from 6 to 10. So if, imagine from 9 to 5 in the morning you're working and from 6 to 10 you're in class. So honestly, there was really no time for yourself and you're just focusing on this exam. So I definitely agree with you, Devin, that studying for the exam when you have all this other stuff going on, it's a bit difficult. But I don't but if is it impossible? No. It's not. And I think what people need to do sometimes is I think they need that period of time during the summer just for themselves to just focus on the exam. I know some of us may not have the luxury. I know you and I may not have had that luxury, but I think others may. So I think focusing on the exam may be the best bet. How do you feel about that?
I think that it depends on the individual and what you are willing to do. I know that it was my goal as soon as I graduated to be in law school the next fall. And so I took it upon myself to study and take the LSATs during my school year without having any type of break. And while it did work out for me in the end, it definitely was a scary experience to not be able to dedicate as much time as I wanted to a test that is notorious for being a make or break decision for law schools to accept you. And I think that in your case, and as well as many others that have taken the test multiple times or plan to, as long as you just keep in mind why you're doing it, why you're spending the money, why you're studying for 4 to 5 hours a day, if not more. To take a test that, in my opinion, has nothing to do with actually being a law student. If that's something that you have to just keep in the back of your mind and make sure that it inspires you to just keep moving forward.
So pretty much accept your fate, people.
Yeah.
Accept that the fact you have to take this exam. I mean, there is, I think there's a bright, there's a, what do you call it, a silver lining in this cloud? Is that the right saying?
Yes.
There's a silver lining. Some schools are now starting to accept the GRE. So keep that in mind. That's the only highlight in this very horrifying horror story. Some schools do accept the GRE in place of the LSAT. But Google that, fact check that, and make sure if you do plan on going to law school. I think that is a bit of a silver lining, no?
That's
Just a little bit.
definitely and something that a lot of people don't really, I guess, mention is the things that you do outside of your academics. They matter, and the
Right.
more opportunities you take advantage of
The better for you.
you get into law school, the better it looks on you for taking initiative to do more than you needed to. I know, at least for myself, a lot of law schools tend to take really high GPA students. And anyone could get a 4.0 if they didn't have a lot of personal or financial burdens on them. And
Right.
ultimately, the more you make yourself stick out, the better your chances are of being noticed and having those things be considered. So even if you have a great GPA, try and make yourself a little bit more well-rounded. Take out opportunities that maybe not a lot of individuals take up, or get some hobbies that not a lot of individuals are really interested in. For every law school application, they usually have some type of character assignment or question where they ask you, just tell me about yourself. And so just provide something rather unique about you. I had a friend who was invited to speak to some individuals for a fellowship during the application process. And she had mentioned something about her liking dolphins. And during her last interview, she lost her position to someone else. And when she asked, they said, "We just wanted to know more about the dolphins." And that's because she was such a great applicant. They wanted to see more about her personality. And so personality does matter when you're applying to things such as law school. If you can show that you're someone who they want to have in the community and want to have as a colleague, they're going to most likely seek you out.
Nice. Yeah. Agreed. So we're going to leave law school just for a bit, and we're going to come back to it later on in the episode. But we're going to start doing our Wednesday prompt shout-outs, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as you guys know, here at The Gray Scene, we always do Wednesday prompts. And this Wednesday's prompt was right about the color red in celebration for TGS's birthday, which is coming up this Wednesday, which is September 20th, guys. So look out for the live video that's going to happen on Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I got to check my calendar real quick. I think it's Wednesday. Oh, no, sorry. The birthday is the Thursday. So September 20th is a Thursday. So sorry about that, guys. But still look out for the prompt on Wednesday. And as you guys know, we choose three people or more to do a Wednesday shout out for the prompt, which we thought were really awesome and represented the prompt in all its greatness. So, Devin, with all further ado, do you mind talking about the people who were chosen for this Wednesday's prompt?
Sure. So the first individual we have is Brian Creates and Copies without any spaces. Our second is Jube, which is J-H-U-B-E, 4742. And the last is _ Incandesco, I-N-C-A-N-D-E-S-C-O.
Thank you so much. And these are all their Instagram handles, people. So make sure to give these people a follow, like their work, comment on it, network, collaborate. You guys know the drill here at TGS and on The Gray Hour. We believe in each artist coming together, just sharing the love of art and just promoting each other and just sharing the love. So thank you very much for that, Devin. Sunday shoutouts we're going to do later on in the episode, because we're going to get jumping right back into this little bit of an interview. So Devin, I know you've said you've dabbled in creative writing just a little bit, right?
Yes, I have.
So you want to talk about your experience in creative writing?
Sure. So writing has always been an interest of mine. I was never really great at it in terms of writing novels or stories, but I always liked the purpose of writing. And one of the ways that I was always sort of pushed towards to have a creative outlet was poetry. And so There were times where I wrote poems, whether or not it was for myself or others. I always just decided to try and write one every couple of days. Unfortunately, this was when I was in high school, so it was a number of years, and I don't have any of them. But I still remember a lot of the pieces of what I had written, and I even submitted one to some type of writing competition. And mine was selected and sent. I wasn't the overall winner, To me, that didn't matter. It was more about getting what I thought was an important message out there to whoever read it, and expressing my views on topics such as life and depression and anxiety.
Right. So you spoke about anxiety a lot in your poetry.
Yes. It was more so towards the topic of having hope. During my high school years, I definitely fell into a rut, and it was difficult to get out. And so my love for helping others mixed in to my interest at the time, writing poetry and writing in general. And so a lot of my writing centered around this notion of hope. And one of it was actually the piece that I had submitted for the competition, which was labeled or titled Hope's Light. And the idea of the piece was to inspire others to say that hope itself, it's this idea that is more so internal than external. I don't think that hope necessarily comes from anything that we can see, anything that exists outside of who we are. And so from what I've experienced and what others have told me, I was able to give some of them some semblance of hope for whatever was happening in their lives. And so the idea of Hope's Light is to be that light, to help others see not only the path that they can take, but to help guide them and to mentor them into a place where they can be self-sustaining and look back and say that they have overcome all of these obstacles, and that no matter how dark it is, either in their life or a challenge that might be up ahead them, there's never a reason to say that you have to give up.
Right. I think that's very poetic. I think that should be a poem right there. So why did you fall off of poetry? It's like, so what is it? Like, why did you fall off? I think you have such a way with words, and I think you should just definitely get back into it. Do you just not have the time anymore?
I do think it has partially to do with the time available, but there's definitely a more, I guess, ironic sense to what I just said in regards to the theme of the poem that I had submitted.
Right.
And it's, I decided to do something else. I decided to take the values that I wanted to see in people and I wanted to see in myself, and decided to internalize it. And instead of writing it on a piece of paper that may or may not get to others, which, you know, the meaning might be misconstrued or it might have been a bit hazy, I wanted to internalize it and actually commit to it in every action that I do. So that passion for helping others and guiding and mentoring others eventually turned into the things that I've done in college and the things I'm doing in law school. So it's not something that has necessarily gone away,
right?
But it's something that I may very well return to at some point.
Right. So I think it's fair enough to say your poetry is now actions.
Yes.
So I think that in itself is very poetic, and I think that should be in itself a poem. So when you get the chance, write about that. but with all that being said, I just want our audience to get a grasp of what does writing mean to you? What does poetry mean to you? Or in itself, what does art mean to you?
So just to break that down a little bit, I consider writing a little bit different from other art forms. There's almost these rules that are set in place that are a little bit vague at times. So an artist might produce a piece, a painting, and say, this is what I did. And sometimes individuals might want to ask, what were you thinking at the time? Or what does, you know, this particular thing mean? And others say not to ask that and to just appreciate the art for what it is. Now, that is true for poetry as well and writing, but I definitely feel that there is a difference in the power that words have. One of the greatest things that I've seen, and I thought it's absolutely brilliant, and I would say it's almost a mix of writing and painting or illustration or just art in general, and I believe it's the shortest poem, which is just the letter I, a lowercase I. And instead of the dot being a dot, it's the individual's fingerprint, the artist's fingerprint. And I
Oh,
thought
wow.
that was absolutely brilliant because it's absolutely the most unique form of who you are. It's something that, you know, police use to identify you, and whether or not it's you know, absolutely unique is sort of irrelevant because it's the artist expressing, this is so unique about me that almost no one else is going to have this. And I just need to do one thing, and that's put my thumb as a dot, I have an eye. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
That's brilliant.
And so writing, I think, has the power to reach beyond what regular pictures and those types of art are. It just connects, at least to me, in ways that you can visualize it in your own way. There's no set picture that it wants to give you, only this general idea. And because of your life experiences, you give that writing its image. And I think that's what's, at least to me, most beautiful about writing.
Wow. Okay. Well, you heard it here, folks. It's been Devin approved. That is how he feels about writing. On that note, talking about more writing, I think we should jump into the Sunday shout-outs.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do that. So, guys, we're going to deviate again. Let's do these Sunday shout-outs. So I'll begin with, and guys, remember, these are all their Instagram handles. Make sure to give these peeps a follow. So the first one is Writings by JB. Pretty simple. Our next one is a.messy.perfection. Our next person is ultimate.writer. Tanus Addiction, and that's Tanus spelled T-A-N-U-S Addiction. Our next person has been, definitely come up before. J-Hube? It's J-H-U-B-E 4742. And Thom Rads. Rads. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I'm sorry if I kind of butchered that, but it's Thomratz. Devin?
Sure. So just advance warning, if I get anything wrong, I do apologize. I will try and pronounce it and spell it as it is. The first one is Avenues of My Mind. The next is Sushma Jagan, and that's S-U-S-H. M-A dot J-E-G-A-N, humble underscore harmony, the books and other quarter, which is all separated by underscores, hidden heart with I don't know how many underscores before.
I think it's a very long underscore in front of hidden and after heart.
Yes, so 2 to 3, let's say. And the last one is Kara Groff, which is K-A-R-A-G-R-O-F.
So thank you guys so much for being on this Sunday shout out. You guys will definitely see the next ones on the next week's podcast. But thank you again, Devin, for doing that.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
But before we even wrap up, we're not even close to wrapping up. We have a lot to talk about still. We're going to do a little birthday shout out. So for my sister who just turned 18, happy birthday, Juliana. Her birthday was, I think it was Thursday. Yeah, whatever September 13th was. I believe it was Thursday. Happy 18th birthday. She started her first year in college, so congrats.
That's great.
Right? Oh, man, they're getting old on me, man. I'm getting young and they're getting old. Our next person is Shauna. Her birthday is today, so happy, happy birthday. Live it up. You guys both deserved it. Both deserve it. I hope you guys are still alive and enjoying it. Just enjoy your lives, guys. Be happy. Be cheerful. Enjoy every minute of it. So I think that's it. No, I have one more person's birthday coming up, and that's going to be on Tuesday. I'll announce her birthday on next week's podcast. Because I believe Virgo season's about to be up soon, right? I mean, yeah, it's Virgo season, right? Virgo season's about to end soon. Isn't it, Devin?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Yeah, I have no idea either because they're not important. Leos are the best thing in the zodiac, so I know when Leo season starts and ends, and that's all that matters. But happy birthday to the rest of our Virgos out there. If you guys ever want to be shouted out for your birthday, let us know. You guys know the drill. So let's jump back into this, Devin.
Sure.
We talked a little bit about law school and the process of getting into law school. And we talked about your creative writing lifestyle. Let's talk about being a law school student. I know it's basically been the first couple of weeks of your first year. How has it been? Tell us about that.
So at least from the way that I've seen it, it's a very different environment than anything else you'll be in. From the sort of start, everyone knows law school is competitive, not only to get into, but the entire function of it is to be the best of the best, to be the top of the class. And so I went in with the mindset of I'm going to be sort of alone and focus on my work, making sure that I got everything done.
Right.
I was lucky enough to be put into a section. And so just to kind of briefly explain that, law school is divided up into sections. The entire year, at least for us, was separated into 20 sections, two for the evening students, and the rest that divided each section up was like about 20 to 25 students. And so these 25 students, you will be with for every class until you graduate law school.
Okay.
The purpose of that is to build a sense of community, to say that you have these individuals that are going to the same classes that you do, who's going through the same academic struggles as you. And so you have a little network to ask, oh, hey, do you have the notes for this class? Or do you have a brief for, you know, this class? And that was definitely a shocker because I became really close with my section over the past couple of weeks. On the more academic side, they usually teach you the more basic courses first. So they teach, at least for us, fundamentals of law practice, which is a writing course to be able to write legal memorandum and briefs and eventually amicus brief, which we will argue orally at the end of semester and be put into a competition and so forth. Criminal law, which is not necessarily learning how criminal law works, but understanding what constitutes crimes. Why do we have crimes? And how do we punish them? For what purpose? Civil procedure, which is just learning how courts function, what the jurisdictions are, the difference between state and federal courts, and so forth. And the last is torts, which is personal injury. And so it's to give law students a well-rounded account of what types of law there are, what the fundamentals are. And so in the next couple of years, students will get to specialize.
Choose their focus, right?
Right. Specialize in whatever they like to. More on the workload. It is not easy by any means. It is incredibly difficult. But I think that's part of the enticing nature of law school. If you're going into law school, you should be expecting to do a lot of work in the first place. Our section had a discussion, and we felt that the first 3 weeks are meant to break law students, just to break down your spirits, to make you feel like you will never have a life outside of the work. And they did a pretty good job on that. But I think it's to show that you're going to obviously have a lot of work when you go into your
being a lawyer
field. Correct. But it's also to show you that if you could get through that, you'll be fine later on. And we were able to get through that because our section was lucky enough to have really cooperative people. And so we shared our briefs, we shared our outlines, and we were able to get through everything that we needed to. So it was a lot of work, but so far my law school experience has been in my view great. I'm having a lot of fun, and it's something that you have to have a passion for. And if you don't like academic settings, if you don't like the law, if it's just too much jargon, make sure you don't go, just to save yourself the financial burden. it's incredibly difficult to get out of $40,000 worth of loans if you only go for the first year.
Right. Huh, imagine that. You go for like 1 year and you have all this huge debt following you around for the rest of your life. And you didn't even finish school. That's the crazy part. But I think I will agree. I've seen a lot of miserable law school students. I think maybe law school was created to destroy the happiness of people. I'm just joking, guys. I think law school is a beautiful thing. I think we need lawyers who are there to represent us, essentially, to go into the government and fix whatever broken and see what they could do with it. Because, right now we kind of need the help. So if we have fresh minds going into this, I think we are kind of going to be saved. I stress kinda, because I don't know how saved we're going to be, but I think we're going to be more saved than what we are, where we're at right now. But Devin, how does it feel to be an artistic lawyer? Do you consider yourself to be one of those, an artistic lawyer? Is there such a thing? Because I know lawyers are supposed to think logically and very strategically and have a very structural way of how they could like represent themselves. Do you think there's such a thing as an artistic lawyer?
I think there is. I would definitely consider myself as such. You're definitely correct in regards to how most lawyers have to think and articulate themselves in a very logical and logically sound way. Given that, I think that's part of the problem of what our government and what the criminal justice system is now. We tend to think too logically and sticking too literally to things that are written without thinking of its purpose. And
Right.
we can look at how the courts function and the legislators function, and we see a trend of almost there's only two options, and yet there's a multitude of options in between the sort of, I guess you could say, left and right wing answers or solutions. In the same sense, law school says that you have to think very methodically. There's
Right.
a system, a set of standards, and you have to apply them through tests. And we can say that for the majority of the time, that's what a law student and attorney does. They have to apply, previous cases and apply the standards that have been set up by previous courts or by statutes. That's the function to assist the client that they're with, that they're working for. On the other end, I think that that's also stifled the progress that we could have made in these fields because we're too afraid to take these risks. There's often a struggle that attorneys have to go through, which is, do I serve my clients to the best of their individual fate or their well-being, or do I try to take a risk with a client to try and fix the system that got them there in the first place? And
Right.
unfortunately, a lot of them have to go with the first because that's their job, that's what they were hired for. And as long as that system keeps peddling, that artistic nature for attorneys and lawyers is going to be stripped away, and we're going to have essentially a checklist, and as long as we fill the checklist, that's our only job. I'd like to move away from that to be an individual that's capable of my perspectives are and trying to change minds. And I think that we're moving into a time period where that's going to happen with such a progressive future generation that's been so accepting of how other individuals think and how they feel, that moving backwards would be an absolute shame. And we can see that happening a little bit. And I do apologize for deviating into this, but we see
No.
that now in modern politics.
Right.
And I don't want that to be the trend that we go down. And so I'm putting a lot of faith and hope into both our generation and the future generations to really work on fixing that in putting in what they think is right and actually listening to what the people in the communities say about what is right or wrong. There just needs to be a lot more conversations about that. And based off of those conversations, there needs to be something done. See that happening as of right now.
Okay. So I think our last question for tonight is, because I think you gave a very long and beautiful answer as to what's going on with our criminal justice system and how lawyers have to be and what their focuses are in their profession. I think that's beautiful, and I hope people understand and grasp the idea of it. I think the million-dollar question towards the end of this episode is, why do you want to be a lawyer?
So this is something that I think everyone who wants to get into law school or study law needs to ask themselves. There's certainly been a variety of answers, and the one that I get a lot from family members and friends is the money. I think if it's for the money, you should be doing something else.
Right.
On that note, even though the money is amazing, depending on which field of law you get into, keeping in mind your purpose will help you get through things like the LSAT, will get you through college, and will get you through law school, as long as you always remember what that purpose is of you being there. And for me, it's my desire to help others. It's definitely a variety of avenues I could have taken in different professions, but I felt that the law was something that was so complex and required so much oversight and management in terms of the details, that there are going to be a lot less individuals that are capable of understanding how complex the law is and understanding how complex social issues are that relate back to the law. We notice problems constantly, such as racial discrimination, gender discrimination, and we have now a situation where Supreme Court justice is about to be put in that can break the tie in a conservative way. And no matter how we look at it, if that happens, there are going to be certain groups that, for better or for worse, depending on what your political beliefs are going to be, their rights are going to be restricted.
Right.
In my eyes, a lot of individuals notice that and they see that and they think it's wrong, but they feel powerless to do anything about it. And so my interest in the law is that I'm able to, whether it's better or not as great as other individuals, assess that connection and actually do something about that. And there are a couple of other professions I could have done that would have achieved the same purpose in helping others, but I wanted to make a direct and lasting impact that people can point to later on when they're attorneys and say, hey, this person made a difference. I want to use these types of arguments to further push for what I believe is the right thing to do for the community and for society as a whole.
I think you're absolutely wonderful. I honestly can't wait for you to be a lawyer, because I know you'll be doing great things as a lawyer, no matter which profession you, not profession, but which choice you choose. I think it's amazing that there are people like you out there, because I think we need people like that to, with this mindset, to fix the corruption in society, even though it's going to take a really long time to do that. Fix the government as it is right now and help people understand what's going on with the law. Because as you said and stated before, is that the law is sometimes a whole bunch of jargon that people will never fully grasp or understand. I think that's the biggest issue that we have, that people don't understand the law or don't know who to go to. I think when we have people like you going out there, I think it'll make people a lot more at ease with who's out there in this profession, you know? And I hope you're happy with yourself. I hope you're proud, because you're making big strides in this world.
Oh, wow.
So give yourself like a big hand, like a big applaud, because you're awesome and amazing. You're our artistic lawyer for TGS. So in case we get into something, we're coming to you, Devin.
Well, thank you. Just one.
Because I don't think I could uphold myself in court, right? I don't think so. If it's my stuff, can I do that? If anything happens,
You can definitely represent
legally. Legally represent myself. Can
absolutely 100% not recommended unless you are an attorney yourself. But I mean, if you want to, you absolutely can.
See, there you go, Devin. You're gonna be my lawyer. but I want to thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It's been great talking to you.
Absolutely, thank you.
And I know it feels like it's been cut short, and I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I know you're gonna say something before. I'm not gonna cut you off with it.
Definitely, you know, thank you for inviting me to be a part of this podcast and to be part of this project that you're working on. And just sort of a quick side note for your audience and anyone else who might be interested in going into the law. Writing is an amazing prerequisite. I can't tell you how many people majored in English and went into the legal field, because a lot of it is writing. A lot of it is reporting and assisting others in just reviewing documents and reviewing legislation. So if you're interested in writing, the legal field is actually a really good pathway for you to get involved in change, because a lot of people don't actually consider that a viable field. They think the same thing as something like criminal justice. What kind of, you know, the question is always, what kind of job are you going to get with that degree? Apparently, English majors can make really good money if they decide to go into the legal field. So if you're interested in something like that, absolutely, I would 100% recommend looking into it. Something that you're interested in, for, again, any of the audience members, take a look. If you really want to, go ahead and join.
Right. I agree. One of my majors in college was English, so toot toot. The other one was ICJ, International Criminal Justice. Very interesting major. I preferred, I can't even say that. I love both my majors. How about that? Devin, you're definitely going to be invited on for another podcast. The next podcast, maybe we'll talk about, you know, when we get there, we'll get there. We just know that we want you back for the next one. You will be on it. No questions asked. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us about it. It's been great.
Thank you very much. And I'm delighted to see that I'll be invited again. Can't wait.
So guys, just to close this off, you guys know the drill. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's The Gray Scene. That's gray with an E. I know some of us spell it with an A. It's with an E. And also follow us on YouTube. It's The Gray Scene, literally. And if you can't find us, look up The Gray Hour. That's how you're going to find us on YouTube. Episode 2 is on YouTube. We're working to get the other episodes up and loaded on there. But that's going to take some time because we're having some difficulty just meddling with the audio a little bit and getting it onto a video. It's been really weird, but we're working on that, we promise. But as always, we're recording on Anchor, so thank you, and big shout outs to Anchor for this, and shout outs to Apple and Google Podcasts for finally approving us. I can't thank that enough. I think it's an amazing thing to feel. So guys, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the major stuff. Stitches, or is it Itches? I really have no idea what it's called, but or Stitcher. Just follow us, like us everywhere. Thank you guys so much for joining us this Sunday for episode 5, and thank you, Devin, for joining us. And guys, this has been Jay, and until next week Sunday, and until next week Thursday, September 20th, guys, TGS's anniversary and birthday, look out for it, and thank you again. Have a wonderful night. Thank you, Devin.
No problem.
We'll be right back.